daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:40pm with Darren Owen, John Budden and Mick Norton in the studio. We've got all of the racing on the poly track at Kempton domestically and a very good card over in Ireland from Leopardstown. A Grade 2 novice chase there where Vautour will bid to put his season right. A Grade A handicap chase and a Grade B handicap hurdle as well. So still a bit to look forward to. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good. Thank you, Mark.
Good man. The weather is proving
a
little bit tricky at the moment, isn't it? It's threatening to derail things a little bit. But luckily we had a full programme on Saturday. Not quite the same on Sunday, Mick, but it's a bit frustrating, isn't it?
It certainly is. The car at Fontwell already washed away. And I do understand there's an early morning inspection at Leopardstown. Precautionary, I think, because of the weather forecast, rather than they probably could have raced today okay. But I think they're just having a look to see if it's how the night has treated Leopardstown.
Yeah, hopefully it goes ahead because it is a good card there.
Very good card.
Yeah, we've also got AP McCoy slots for that, and we'll hear from Andy Holding. And
AP is riding there, isn't he?
He's got a couple of good rides, and we'll get Mick to have a quick look ahead to them as well. So we'll definitely have Leopardstown covered. But before we get to that, Mick, a few interesting stories in the news. We can't really talk about too much because most of it will, all the headlines will happen on Saturday afternoon, I imagine. But just with regards to Vautour, who we're going to see on Sunday, he was, he kind of made a mistake, didn't he, last time, and I'm not sure he would have beaten Clark Ham anyway on that occasion, but it's a chance for him to put things right on Sunday. And do you see him coming back in and stating a claim again? Because he's kind of becoming a bit of a forgotten horse all of a sudden.
Yeah, I mean, what you've got to remember
with regards to the festival anyway.
Yeah, he was a top-class novice, a hurdler. He looked as though he was going to be as good, if not better, over fences when he made that chasing debut in Navan. Just didn't look himself at Leopardstown at Christmas. I mean, he always can have an off day, can't they? Don't forget, these horses are running in really difficult conditions. And it's very, very hard to get into a rhythm when the ground's as bad as it is. I don't know if you saw the racing at Fakenham in the week. I've never seen conditions at Fakenham like that. And you could see, like, some of the horses just could not get their feet out of the ground.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very difficult for these horses to reproduce their very best sparkling performances on ground as bad as that. You've got to factor that in every time. The ground is a great leveller, as we know. And I just think, for whatever reason, Vautour, we didn't see the best of him at Leopardstown. And he's going back to a good track again. And let's hope he can put things right. I'm sure he will.
Yeah, hopefully so. You mentioned that the ground there. It's not just the ground at the moment as well, is it? Because there have been very strong winds and all of this will make the horse uncomfortable.
Absolutely. We've seen what wind does to aeroplanes, don't we? Yeah, they're coming in sideways at Leeds Bradford.
Yeah,
they can't point the nose at the runway. They've got to point it east or west, and then just pop it round at the last minute. That's what effect. If that wind has that effect on aeroplanes, what's it do to a racehorse and his confidence? He's leaving the ground. He doesn't know whether a 50-mile-an-hour gust is going to whack him in the ribs and turn him sideways, does he? It's very difficult for these horses on the ground and in the conditions.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed week for Willie Mullins as well while we're on the subject of his horses. We saw Duvan win last weekend very impressively, propelled him to the top of the Supreme Novices Hurdle betting. Champagne Fever was running with Don Cossack. There wasn't much between them. He took a tumble in the middle of the week as well.
It was the only mistake he made, wasn't it? For me, Mark, I don't know. I think the thing's starting to think that way by the owner's comments. He's got Queen Mother written all over him, hasn't he?
I'd like to see him in the Queen Mother. Yeah. He travels so well in his races, and he's quick enough.
If you're the best 2 mile novice hurdler around, you know, why can't you be the best 2 mile chaser around?
Yeah.
Why make him stay further than he wants to go? If he's high class at 2 miles, keep him at 2 miles.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and then imagine when we get to the champion chase, if if Sprinter Sacra comes out of his race on Saturday, okay, and then we get Cider Grugy back and we've got Champagne Fever in there as well, it'd be a great race, wouldn't it?
It'd be a vintage, won't it?
Mm. Anything else caught your eye, Mick? I mean, we could have a quick look ahead to the Thiestes. With Willie Mullins thinks that Jack Adam can handle top weight.
Yeah, he's going to have top weight because Fox Rock runs on Saturday, so he's not going to line up. So Jack Adam will elevate to top weight in that. And but I don't think it's a high-class field. His class may well get him away with it. Again, it'll be who handles the conditions best, won't it? Mm. It's a good race to look forward to in the week.
Okay. Anything else caught your eye, Mick, before we move on to Sunday?
Not really. I think it's been a bit low-key, hasn't it? Especially, been watching these horses struggling around in this terrible ground and it's not been a pretty sight sometimes, has it?
No, it hasn't. So we'll move on, hopefully. Well, we should get better ground at Kempton because it's not worth a track.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we'll get mixed thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, what we'll do is we'll get Mick's thoughts at Kempton to start with, then we'll get his opinions on a couple of races over in Leopardstown. So starting in the 135 at Kempton, which is Division 1 of this Class 5 handicap over 7 furlongs. 10 of them in the lineup, Mick. Not necessarily the highest quality, but it's competitive nonetheless.
Well, I went for this race particularly, Mark, because I thought one of the best bets on the card was running in it. Right. So we might as well make him our starting point. And it's a shotgun start to... It's trained by Michael Wiggum. George Baker takes the ride. He's wearing cheap pieces for the first time. He's got a good draw in 3. He won on his handicap debut at Wolverhampton back in November. He's run really well back there at the same course since then. He's run with credit, actually, all those 3 starts. That was following on from a 437-day absence. He's still unexposed. This mark of 71 is okay, and I think this track at Kempton may well play to his strengths rather than Wolverhampton, where he has shown his effective out. But I think Kempton could well suit him. I do think he's the standout bet in this contest and maybe on the card. Chelwood Gate is knocking on the door, still only got that debut maiden win to his name. Has got plenty of players for him in the 60s, was actually given a absolutely nonsensical rating of 93 after that debut maiden win, and of course that was totally unrealistic, and his marks never stopped tumbling since. He's got each way claims again, knocking on the door, but vulnerable. Baltic Prince, his marks now into the high 60s after that brace of wins in November and December in the 50s. To be fair to him, he has run with credit in both starts in the 60s. And he may be the one to give Shotgun Start most to think about, but you're scratching for opposition to the selection. Shotgun Start, who I think has a very solid look about him.
Okay, confident selection then for Mick in the 135 in the shape of Shotgun Start. The 305 is where we go next. This one is a Class 5 handicap over 6 furlongs. Some of these really struggling for form, Mick.
Absolutely.
But Pabasar's been, well, was knocking on the door last time we saw him. That was 175 days ago. And Evident was a winner over this course and distance in pretty nice fashion last time. So are those the two to concentrate on here?
Yeah, he's gone back to Richard Guest, and this is his first start back for Richard. Poor strike rate, hasn't he? He's often well backed as well. Mm. I think a watching brief for me after all that time off for him, and I'll go with some with a bit more recent form. The weights are headed by Evident, who found some form from somewhere, I don't know where, last time to win a course and distance handicap. He's £6 higher in this, and he's giving weight to the field, and he's no certainty to back that good effort up, judged on his earlier efforts. Rigoletto, it's interesting, Ronnie. He won the race last year off a £2 lower mark, and he should be all the better for that last run. That was after 97 days off. George Baker back on board. George was on board when he won this in 2014, and he looks set to make a bold bid to win it again. But I'm going to give the selection to 4 A-Man, and Adam Kirby taking the ride. He's on a fair mark, this horse, and he was only beaten ahead off a pound higher quite recently. Still lightly raced, and he's got a really big chance on his penultimate course run here over 7 furlongs. And interestingly enough, Adam Kirby, who's ridden a few of these in the past, is up for the first time for Joseph Tweed. And he gets the selection. He's got a good draw as well in stall four. Might be a decent price as well for a man.
Okay, 4A man is the selection in the 3R5. The 4R5 is the last race we're going to look at Kempton. This one is a class 5 handicap over 1 mile and 3 furlongs. We'll start here with your thoughts around City of Anchor Watmick, who's been knocking on the door at Wolverhampton. Did win there 4 starts ago and steps up in trip for an attempt at Kempton. Will it lead to him getting his head back in front?
I'm not sure. I think this is a bit stronger, actually, than the company has been keeping. Maybe the switch to Kempton might work. The Oracle certainly deserves to get in his head in front. Does appear to give it his best, and he was comprehensively beaten by the winner last time, but he beat the rest off comfortably enough. Certainly deserves a change of luck. Whether this is the race for him to do it in, I'm not sure. Could be quite a bit stronger race than he is used to. Albra. Now, he's an interesting runner, Albra. That was his first start for Nigel Twiston Davis the other day after leaving Claire Dyson, and only went up 4 for that. A repeat would make him hard to beat. With obviously the Twiston Davis method seeming to suit him, could still be well handicapped. For me, the interesting runner in the race is Z King, trained by Chris Wall. He's definitely got races in him, this horse. He's been placed second on 3 of his last 5. He's gone close for George Baker in the past. And despite that slightly off-putting draw of 12, he might be worth chancing, as I think this is a race that will take little winning, because you're banking on Albra going and doing it again, which might be a big if. You're professional losers, if you like, without being unkind to them. It's not their fault. Classic Mission and City of Angkor Wat too. And you've got horses like Thane of Cawdor, who's got a good record here. Handicapper knows where he is with him. He's still £3 higher than his last win, and he has again, like Z King, got a modest draw, but he's gone close under Kirby on 2 of his last 3 races, and Kirby's sticking with him, and I think for that reason alone he's got to go on the shortlist, and the harder the go from the front, the better for him. But it's a tricky enough one, isn't it? But I'll take a chance on Z King for Chris Wall and George Baker.
Okay, just having a quick look ahead to Leopardstown as well. The first of the race we're going to look at there is the 220, which is a handicap chase, a Grade A handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. It's an open race, and Fox Rock heads the market at 5-1, 7-1 for Treat Yourself. Federici is 8, 9-1 for Back Off Mate and Biley Babe, 9-1 as well for Follow Me Up to Carlo, and 10s are all bigger prices for the others. Plenty of chances here, Mick. So, which ones do you like?
Yeah, I mean, Fox Rock, he's knocking on the door. The trouble is he's gone up £7 for those 2 creditable efforts in similar company last time. I mean, the opposition isn't the problem with him. It's whether this mark of 149 is going to be beyond him or not. That was a really good run over the Christmas period. But as I say, he's paid for that with a £7 rise. Mm-hmm. And that might just anchor him. With these very competitive valuable handicap chases in Ireland, I like to look further down into the 10-stone brigade, and the two that catch my eye, the first of them is Some Ticket, Barry Geraghty riding for Sandra Hughes. He probably still needed the run last time. That was only his second run back after 202 days off, and he's probably off a fair mark now, 136, Some Ticket. And he has won in the past for Barry Geraghty. So I've put him on the shortlist. And the other one is AP's mount, Biley Babe. She wears the hood for the first time. And she was an excellent third at Fairy House last time, suggesting the turn is getting closer. And I think the key thing for her might be this step up to 2 miles, 5 furlongs. It was 2-1 at in Ferry House, and she's stepping up half a mile here in trip, and I think that's going to be a plus for her. So I'm going to split my stakes in the big Leopardstown handicap chase, the Grade A, with Some Ticket and Barley Babe.
Okay. Make sure you tune into William Hill Racing Radio on Sunday as well, because you'll be able to hear AP himself talking about Barley Babe in that race.
Yeah, he's also got a good ride in the Valuable Handicap Hurdle half an hour later in Snake Eyes.
Yeah, Snake Eyes is the 7-1 market leader.
Yeah.
Waxy's Dargle, 8s, 10s for KTT, Clondor Warrior 11s, 12s for Rock the World, and Chanteaued and 14s or bigger for the others. Nicky Henson sent him over because it's a big prize pot there, isn't it?
Valuable race. 100 grand in the pot, you know, and well done to Nicky for supporting it. I'm going to take a chance on Pair of Brown Eyes, who came good last time. Now, Liz Doyle hasn't run him since. I just wonder whether she's had her eye on this. I didn't want to run him again to protect his handicap mark.
Mm.
And he's lurking down there at the bottom of 10 stone 3. Mikey Fogarty is going to be taking the ride. They're notoriously difficult, Irish handicap hurdles. But this race is often won by horses carrying 10 stone something. And he fits that bill for certain. But wide open, as you might expect.
Yeah, just looking through the last few winners. Gil Gamboa, 10 stone 9. Abbey Lane, 10 stone 7. Yeah. Citizenship, 10 stone 3. So. Yeah,
exactly. So it's so competitive that you know, it's a big plus to have under 11 stone. AP's mount, so those Snake Eyes, you know, he's not too badly treated. I mean, a winner of a similar valuable contest at Sandown last time, and you know, comes here on the back of that. So he's not out of it, is he? Not, but Pair of Brown Eyes is just going to be a better price, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Good stuff. I can tell you what price Pair of Brown Eyes is actually at the moment. Currently 16-1.
Yeah, that'll do me. 4 places on offer each way.
Mm. Good stuff. Fantastic, Mick. Let's just have a quick summary of your selections then before you go.
Yeah, at Kempton, I like the look of Shotgun Start in the 135. Won't take much winning. And he can get back to winning ways on his first trip to Kempton. In the 305 at Kempton, I like 4 A-man for Adam Kirby there, who is riding this horse for the first time. And he was only beaten ahead quite recently off a pound higher mark, so the mark's OK. And in the 405, we're going with Z King for George Baker and Chris Wall, who has been second in 3 of his last 5 and has got the slightly negative box of 12, but Baker's a master at negating problems like that, and hoping for a good run at a good price from Z King.
Thank you, Mick. Good luck, and enjoy on Sunday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go, the thoughts of Mick Norton on Sunday's racing. He'll be in the studio. He'll be joined by Darren Owen and John Budden, and they'll be live from 12:40 p.m. for this meeting at Kempton. We'll also cover all of Leopardstown as well, so plenty to look forward to there. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.